This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at hometeam.com.
You don't have money issues. You only have relationship issues. There's no issues that you have in this world that a relationship can't solve.
Well, hello and welcome to a fabulous episode of the Color of Money podcast. If you have tuned in, you are tuning in because you want to know more about wealth building. We talk about four things on this podcast. We talk about wealth building. We talk about real estate sales. We talk about development. We talk about leadership. We also talk about entrepreneurship. But today, I think what we decided we would talk about is something that pretty much everybody's feeling. It's kind of chaotic in the world out there if you've been paying any attention, or maybe you're intentionally like me trying not to pay attention because it is so chaotic. But how do you find opportunity in the chaos? That's going to be our topic today. And I am your co-host, Julia Lachey. I am joined by Bowman Keaty, Emmerich Peace. Y'all know him as Unc. And we are going to have a conversation about, I guess you could call it chaos, but craziness slash chaos. And in all of that, how do we find opportunity to build our businesses, build wealth, take our unfair share? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, Bo, Emmerich, thanks for joining me.
Hey, hey.
Good to be here.
So today, basically, every time the market gets chaotic or the world gets chaotic, there's two kind of people, in my opinion. There's two kind of people. The ones who freeze and they don't want to do anything. And then there's the ones who actually move. And today, what I want to talk about are what are some strategies for those of us who do want to move through the chaos so we can build wealth even when the conditions aren't perfect, or maybe they are perfect. There was a saying that said, never waste a good crisis. Maybe this is that, you know? So what I'd like to talk about is those strategies, because history is clear, right? Chaos has always been the birthplace of how some people build wealth. Mm-hmm. How do we be in that number? That's what I'd like to talk about today.
Well, Julia, I think a lot of it starts with focus. Whenever there's a lot of fog or there's dust in the air and it hasn't settled and there's no clear sort of idea, I think that the first response most of us have is to be focused on the loss of certainty. Like we've been focused on what was that's gone. Mm. You know, we got agents still focused on interest rates used to be 3% and they're gone, yeah. Right? Like focus on things that no longer are. And so I think one of the challenges is in chaos is to calm ourselves enough in that moment to be able to get clarity and then see the moment for what it is, whatever that moment is, good, bad, or indifferent, to see that moment for what it is and to be able to take some sort of action to move towards something in that moment. And so I think one of the challenging things in crisis is that crisis triggers all sorts of emotional and mental responses for us. And usually calm and discernment are not the ones that come in the middle, right. In the middle of chaos. And yeah. So how do we find moments of calm and discernment in the middle of chaos? Because that's when those decisions can be made that make such a big difference.
And it's funny. It's interesting you said that thing, focus, Bo, because in my Facebook quote, in my Facebook post this morning, you know, I post these little inspirational quotes and sayings from my pond. And I said, and this is so apropos. I said, play your position. Mm-hmm. I said, play your position. I said, there are too many obstacles and too many distractions. Play your position. Focus on your goals, your objectives, and where you're headed in your success journey. And just stay laser focused. Play your position. And a lot of times, so the things that are going on around us, they are distractions and they could present options. The real question is, you know, what's your position? What are you looking to do in your space? And you got to run that path. And I'm not saying that's the only path. But however, what I'm saying is if you've committed a certain amount of time, energy, and effort to that place, you got to play your position and use those obstacles or those distractions to grow your place. Just make sure you don't change directions. That's not required.
But I feel like in uncertain times, there are always people who do make money, and then there's people who lose money. And what's the, like, why? Why is it that some people are taking an opportunity of complete chaos and making something out of it, and then there's the people who have the same opportunity, but somehow they're losing money in the chaos? How do you separate those two different types of people?
Well, I believe that this is just the world according to Emmerich. Most people make an attempt to operate outside their gift zone. When you're operating outside your gift zone, then it becomes a distraction. What's your gift zone? When, no matter what that, whatever that challenge is, whatever that chaos is, what's your gift zone inside of that chaos? If you're not operating in your gift zone, then you have to learn something different. And then the opportunity is not an opportunity. It becomes a distraction because you may not be the person who's blessed or gifted enough in that area to take best opportunity of it. And so you just have to be, again, you have to come back and you have to be focused and play your position. What's your gift zone? And if it's not your gift zone, the other part that happens is there's an opportunity and you're too greedy to find somebody else who can help you with that. And you're trying to take advantage of all the opportunities without getting a proper help to maximize that opportunity.
Well, just to be clear, what opportunities are there right now that people could or should be taking advantage of in this kind of an environment?
Well, I can tell you a couple of basic ones that I think about, and this relates to how you succeed. I think a lot of times, I've struggled with this a lot. A lot of times in crisis, chaos, or challenge, our desire to prove that what we did was right and that we are okay has us focused on trying to salvage something. So I can think in a moment today, you could be really focused on your property that's underwater. If you had a rental property and it was upside down or the tenant moved out and you're worried about that, you could spend all your time focusing on that. Or you could take action to go buy another rental property, which likely would be a lot cheaper today that might have better economics. And so part of it is velocity in a market. People tend to take velocity when they're comfortable and everything's nice. They take action. And then when it gets tough, they stop taking action. And so by the nature of that, they participate in the bad market when it's actually not value, and they don't participate when there's value. And I think that's a huge thing. Like, we had all these programs on home ownership when the market was going gangbusters in 2005, 2006, everyone would buy a house. But now is the right time. We should be encouraging people with less resources to buy a house. Now, part of that has to do with where does all the other components that fit into that fit in? But I think part of it is a bias towards action. And that there has to be a bias towards action. It has to be thoughtful action, but there's going to be a bias towards action in crisis because most people freeze when there's chaos.
Yeah, that's my point. People are like, okay, the world's crazy. Things are changing too rapidly. The entire social media has become a tabloid. I'm just going to do nothing. I'm going to just sit and do nothing and wait for it to pass. But in that waiting, somebody's winning, you know? And so when you take the action, how do we help people take action in spite of what may seem like turmoil all around you?
Warren Buffett says, "When you don't buy when everybody else is buying. You buy when everybody else is not buying. Because there's a reason why they're not buying. You just have to be strategic in that place of what you're buying or what you're doing." And then coming back to that conversation, Bo, we were talking about the Obsidian, about the fund, right? And what I was saying is that there are some opportunities that are coming up and one may not have the capital to take advantage of that opportunity. And they're too busy trying to take advantage of the opportunity without the capital because they don't want to share with somebody else. Well, there are capital funds that can help you buy something that somebody else is selling that you absolutely don't have the resources to take advantage of. However, you're so busy not wanting to lose, you can't even find a way to win. because of sometimes it's selfish, sometimes it's ego. But coming back to what you were saying, Julia, where do you find those opportunities? Those opportunities are popping up on a regular basis now.
I think it's kind of too, like another thing we did, building off what Emmerich just said, something I was trying to do with a couple of key leaders in my organization the other day was, you know, sit down. So here's an exercise, and I'm still trying to work on it myself, but here's the exercise. I said, let's sit down. So we had historically represented a lot of condo developers in selling new home construction projects. So we have all these people coming to us, and oftentimes their projects are not, they're not really going to sell today. And so we sat down, we asked the question, who fundamentally is your customer? Who do you serve? What are their needs right now? And what are the things that your organization or you personally are good at, as Emmerich said? And how could you apply them? So what are the tools that you have in your toolbox that you can use in today's moment? And what happens is when there's chaos, new business opportunities emerge. And the question is, are you being attuned enough to what those new business opportunities are and how they work? So, you know, for us, part of it was we have a big portfolio of stuff that we've already done and developments we're working on. That's hard today. But we also have the ability to resource capital, the ability to work through a project. Well, maybe we can go apply that to others who have projects that are a different situation where maybe that application of capital and resource helps them get to a different position. So I think it's like looking out at the world and going, what are people fundamentally needing right now? Because the chaos is changing that. And what skills and resources do you have that you could provide?
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit hometeam.com to learn more.
And there's a gap. There's a gap, and the opportunity lies where the need falls. And we just have to, I believe that maybe sometimes we have to get out of our own way and just begin to look at situations a lot more objectively, as opposed to objectively from a place of what's actually happening in that situation, as opposed to what's actually happening to us. I think a lot of times when things happen in the world, we look at how is it happening, what's happening to us, instead of just looking at what's actually happening and take ourselves out of the picture. Because once you put yourself in the picture, now you go into judgment, and it's usually into judgment to things that are not the most positive. And so let's just start looking at what's actually happening and figure out how to assert ourselves and with our gifts and talents and abilities there.
I think, you know, that's really good. In our last episode, we talked about some of those keys to entrepreneurship that probably apply to a lot of this, because I love the flow of what you're saying, Bo, and I wrote that down. Who are your customers? What do they need? And what tools or skills or resources do you have to and apply them, right? But there, it also starts with having the right mindset to do that, because oftentimes, particularly when people are looking at the headlines, or as I call them, the tabloids, because social media has just become a tabloid. What do you think the role that the mindset plays when people are just looking at those headlines and it's negativity is taking over them? They're becoming scared, so they can't even apply. What you're saying is so fundamentally basic, Emmerich, but the challenge is that they keep seeing another headline that is negative, and it makes them become afraid, too afraid to actually move forward.
So, and this has been me in the past. A lot of times things are happening and I have gone into a self-preservation mode. I see what's happening and the question becomes, how can I preserve what I have? How do I keep what I have? And when I get into that space of how do I go into self-preservation mode, how do I keep what I have? I miss the opportunities. And I believe it's a lot of people like that. They don't get a chance to take advantage of the opportunity because they go into self-preservation mode. And that's why I said, stop looking at it as far as how does this affect me, and look at it as what's actually happening.
I get what you're saying. And I appreciate that. And then you also said something else where, okay, then look at what's happening. And then you talked about how maybe you've missed opportunities, but you mm-hmm. also started this by saying people who weren't willing to come together. Because yes. maybe they didn't have the resources or the tools mm-hmm. that Bo's talking about. Maybe they didn't have the capital. Where does togetherness or unity, if you will, come into play in wow. all of this? There's opportunities. Somebody's getting them, right? It may not be us. How do we come together or unify so that collectively maybe we can take advantage of some of these opportunities?
Ooh, light bulb just went out. Ooh, I see it coming, Bo. Well, I saw it.
I think there's two things. And you know, you hear this from me all the time. I think the myth of this sort of, you know, I think we in this country have a myth of entrepreneurs in generally as being these like amazing single unicorn type people. And then I think in communities of color, especially in the Black community, we think of this like amazing entrepreneur, Phoenix rises from the ashes all by themselves. You know what the danger is of being by yourself? It's when something goes wrong, which in chaos, there's something's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And when something goes wrong, it's very hard to sustain that on your own. And what I realized as I started to see how some other communities moved was that there was interconnectivity. So if I own 20% of Emmerich's business, Emmerich owns 20% of my business, Julia owns 20%, we all own a little bit of each other's business, or we all borrow money from each other. If Julia goes bankrupt in this moment, or Bo goes bankrupt in this moment, and Julia crushes it, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And we live in a world where one mistake, one mess up takes everything down. So mm-hmm. interconnectivity promotes sustainability and longevity. And in real estate, the way to win in real estate is not to be a genius, it's to last. The only way you have a bad real estate investment is because you can't hold it. It's the only thing that makes a bad real estate investment. Your inability to hold the asset, you leverage the asset, you can't hold it, so the bank takes it from you. So one thing is, when you have more connectivity, you have more strength, you have more staying power. And I'm seeing this really live today. Mm-hmm. Second thing, in especially in real estate, because leverage and lending is a big piece of it, this is a moment where many people, somebody's loss is somebody else's gain.
Right. That's what I'm getting at. Yes.
And what you've seen is in many smart communities, I'm just going to be real blunt about this. People may not like me talking about it. Like, if I have a loan with the bank and I'm underwater and it's a commercial bank and they've got to mark down their loan. So they lent me $10 million. My property's only worth six today. They're regulatory on their books. They got to take reserves and they got to start reducing the amount of that loan. Well, today, throughout our area and throughout the country, especially mid-sized banks are selling those loans because they need to get them off their bank book. Mm-hmm. So I might have a property that I borrowed $10 million on, and it's only worth $8 now, and the banks marked the loan down to $6 million. It used to be $8 or $9 million, and someone's going to go buy that loan. Well, mm-hmm. what if it was Julia who bought that loan? I know everything about the property. I can give her all the information. But instead, that loan's going to get sold to somebody else, to somebody, because we're not in that game. And mm-hmm. so if you're really tracking and collab, and also because Bo doesn't want to say that he's in trouble. Bo's going to pretend that he's living a life until they take the keys right out of his hand and throw his stuff on the corner. And so the problem is when we start to share in actually understanding what some of our issues are, we have opportunities for collaboration mm-hmm. where wealth doesn't actually just leave the community. It might mm-hmm. it might move around. So one of the questions is, how does wealth move within communities? And the second is, how are communities more connected? Because if you're connected and wealth moves within your community, you never lose. You never lose. If I'm connected to Julia structurally mm-hmm. and Emmerich, and I happen to mess up, but my mess up, the market marks it up and sells it off to somebody else, and that still within my sphere of community, I don't stand to be wiped out. And there are so many young entrepreneurs of color whose pride is in the way of them seizing the moment that's in front of us right now. And that's I see it every yeah. single day.
Wow. How do we change that? What can we do to change that? What's the path forward?
I believe that so many times just like Bo, is pride and ego. We spend so much time putting up a facade of what we really are, and it's just a facade. It's just a facade. We just have to have a clear, I believe we have to be more transparent about what our actual position is, and that's got to be a part of your exit strategy. If for some reason this does not work, then what's my exit strategy? And a lot of times we don't have an exit strategy. We don't, and so like some people's, like this whole thing, if failure is not an option. Well, sometimes life happens and we say we're going to go down with the ship. And really, just because we say, we come sometimes say, because I asked for help or because I transferred my asset, that means I gave up. And really, there's a way to transfer the asset without giving up. You can still have a stake somewhere sometimes, but we don't think about that. We think about how do we keep all of it and maybe not say, how do I keep some of it? Because our pride is attached to all of it, not some of it.
Well, so I think what I'm hearing is that there are opportunities in chaos, but what's necessary is that we have more collaboration.
Yes.
And somehow we're going to have to figure out how do we build these relationships. And really, I guess I could even say a different question. It's how do we build these relationships so that when the opportunity presents us, because maybe we don't even know what the opportunity is now. Maybe you're listening to this and you're like, I don't even know what she's talking about. What opportunity is she talking about? Chaos? Yes. But opportunity? I don't know. But also, do you have the right relationships before the opportunity shows up? We've done episodes on that of getting ready already, being ready already. So when the opportunity shows up, you can actually call someone to help. It's interesting, Bo, you're talking about commercial real estate, really, and what the I guess, catastrophe that's going on nationwide with commercial real estate. Our office is currently in two of the largest commercial buildings, certainly the most notable in Uptown, in many, maybe the epicenter of many, Minnesota itself, and they're in foreclosure. Both of those buildings are in foreclosure. And I was out of town, but our team leader went to the sale, because we had every intention of trying to figure out how we could collaborate and collect. We got enough very wealthy real estate professionals in our building that we could collectively collaborate, and we would like to buy it. I don't know if it's possible. We don't know how to do it. But what we do know is that we need to get our minds and selves together to be collaborative, so that I made a couple of phone calls to some people that said, hey, this might happen. If it does, can we call you in? But getting ready, and how do we collaborate and get ready already for the opportunity we may not even know exists? How do I, yeah. I would call it relationship building, because the guy that I called, I actually called and said, hey, if this happens, might you have like $10 million? Like, you think I'm joking? I'm not joking. I know who he is. You know, like, I'm for real. Like, when it happens, do you have $10 million? And he said, call me. Right. But it's because I already have a relationship. So back to some of the conversations we had about entrepreneurship, how do you build relationships so that when an opportunity comes, you can be ready already? Corey Wright came to our family reunion and he was on our panel. I invited him not because I thought he was going to switch to Keller Williams. I told him why I invited him. I said, I'd like you to come so that we can get to know each other. I'd like to be in a relationship with you. So when an opportunity comes up, you don't think it's weird that I'm calling you. But how do we navigate? Because I happen to know I can't do any of these things by myself. Mm. I do not have an ego where I think Julia is going to rise from the ground. I know that's not happening. I absolutely know that I need other people with me. How do we start to form these collaborations and these relationships so that someday when they say, Julia, guess what? The bank's willing to sell you all the building. Do y'all have $10 million? You know, like, how do I prepare?
I think it goes back. I think one of the ways you prepare, and it may sound overly, I'm trying to think how to make it more tactical, but I think it goes back to this idea of knowing what you're really good at. And also knowing what your position is, in any given situation. Yeah. I may be really good at giving a speech, but the people that we have to give a speech to tonight don't want to see me and don't like me. And so I may have a gift, but my gift applied to that scenario is not going to work.
Yeah.
So am I aware enough to know, to actually know my gift, really know my gift? And I think people start saying, like, I'm a developer. Well, there are a lot of different skills in buying a building, building a building. You know, I'm a realtor. Well, are you really good at lead gen? Were you good at client service? Were you good at marketing? Is that how you got your lead gen? Were you good at converting internet leads? Like, what was your gift really specifically in that scenario? And in the given scenario, how does that gift apply? And so if you look at your business and say, okay, here's what I was really good at, does that actually apply today? You know, and how can you leverage that gift in the moment? I was trying to get our buyer agents on the team to see this. They used to be like, oh, it's all about the listings. Well, in today's world, there's tons of listings. Listings are cheap. We can get listings every day. We got to sell them. And I said, you know, actually, there's a shift in power here. Your gift in taking a buyer through this is really, really valuable right now. How do you double down on that? How do you make that fit? So like thinking about how your gift fits in, I think is an important thing. And then in the context of what's happening around you.
I think that goes back to being less ego. And I have another opportunity. I called you both about it. Should I take this opportunity? And I took it, but not by myself. I said, I'd love the opportunity with my team. I need to bring this person, this person, and this person. Because I know what my gift zone is. I can do this part, but this person, we can't do it without them because they have the skill set to do this. And this person. So yes, all three of us would love to take on this opportunity. I can't do that because I know my limitations and I know my skill set. So maybe, Bo, it has to go back to learning yourself. What's the self-mastery? We talk about that all the time. Like, who are you? What are you good at? What are your skill sets? Do the whole KPAs or the whatever personality assessment you want to take to identify what your skill sets are and how you can build a team around you. So when the opportunity comes, because it will in chaos, somebody is losing something that you can acquire. You will be prepared. Do you have thoughts on that or think differently about that?
No, I think that makes a lot of sense that you've got to be prepared for the moment. And you also have to remember, like, the definition of entrepreneurship is the pursuit of opportunity without regard for the resources that you currently control. So it's about opportunity. It's about resourcefulness, not resources. And it's about pursuit, right? About active action, urgency towards something, right? And so when we think about that, where do we get off? We get off in not taking action. We get off in, as Emmerich always says, worrying about, do I have the, no, the resources actually will appear that's the genius of entrepreneurship. It's about finding the network, the people to make the resources happen. So how do we show up and pursue the opportunity sometimes that we're uniquely positioned to see without regard for the fact that we have the resources? Everyone says, well, I'm undercapitalized. Like, no crap, Sherlock. That, you're not an entrepreneur if someone gave you $10 billion to just go. Like, that's a different exercise. And so how do we turn on that entrepreneurial muscle to pursue the opportunity in the moments we don't feel we have the resources?
I have been guilty of that. I have, and I'm just being, again, I'm being transparent. Although I've done some pretty neat things, I didn't take advantage of some pretty neat things also because of that whole resources. And it's something that I start, and I'm not sure where I heard it. I probably didn't make it up. I heard it's not a shortage of resources. There's a shortage of resourcefulness.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, it's not a shortage of resources. It's a shortage of resourcefulness. And there's so much out there that we just have to dig deep and take ourselves. I think in that place of resourcefulness, we have to take ourselves out of the picture and stop talking about me and my situation or me and how this affects me and just look at what it is. This is what it is. And there's an opportunity in what it is, and I have to remove myself of how it affects me. It's just what it is, and how do I get there?
So here's my, just to recap, or another perspective on what Emmerich just said, which is the same thing.
Okay.
You know, we have this little, I always remind myself this little saying, which one of my coaches told me, to remind all the time, he says, the secret to living life with joy, grace, and ease is to see things as they are, not as you would like them to be. And we spend most of our life lamenting that things are not the way we'd like them to be. And what I think Emmerich's just so eloquently told us is we got to see it as it is. No judgment, no nothing. But when we see things as they are, and we accept them as they are and not accept them as what we'd like them to be, then life becomes so much easier and things flow in a different way.
That's beautiful. It's poetic. And I think it's a great place to kind of end this episode on. The idea here is that the world may be chaotic around you, but as Emmerich said when we first started, mind your business, basically. what's that got to do with you? And we just identified that we can't look at it like we want it to be, or like you said, Bo, like it used to be. We are looking at it like it is. It is what it is. And we're going to figure out how to stay in our lane and operate in our strength zone. And once we do that, we can be open to seeing opportunities. And ideally, we'll collaborate with each other so that we have the resources to actually acquire them. But I think it also takes a vision. You have to have the vision. I think that's part of what you said the definition of an entrepreneur was. You realize that you don't have everything you need to make it happen. But keep your eyes open and stay focused, not on the wrong things. Stay focused on your journey. So when those opportunities do come up, you can call Bo and call Emmerich and say, hey, I've got this vision, but I'm undercapitalized. And he can say, no shit, Sherlock, is what I don't know how to say it. What she says, no crap, Sherlock. Yeah, yeah, no, that's where the other people come in. And understanding that's how we move forward. So friends, conceptually, we realize that things are crazy out there, but there is opportunity. Somebody's winning. And that somebody should be you. I certainly hope it's me. And I know that Bo and Emmerich are working on some strategies for it to be them as well. Guys, any final words? What do you want our listeners to take away from today's episode?
Don't look at it, and Bo just said it, don't look at it as what you want it to be. Look at it for what it is.
Yeah.
And insert yourself in there using your gifts and talents to make it what you want it to be.
I think the answer is that there's opportunity in chaos. As Emmerich said, energy is limited. So any energy you spend worrying about what happened to you, what you'd like it to be, why it's not fair, why it's crazy, what might happen if, mm-hmm. you know, coulda, shoulda, woulda, right? And all that energy is wasted energy in a time when energy is scarce. So how mm-hmm. do we take the energy and resource and put it towards the thing that moves us forward in that moment? And how do we leverage the network we have? And Emmerich talks about building network. Oftentimes I'd say to our listeners, your network's probably so much stronger than you actually think it is. And mm-hmm. that if you reached out to the people around you, if you had something you couldn't figure out, you called up Julia, you called up Emmerich, you called up somebody in your market center or somebody in your business, you have strength in that network. And when we're under pressure and we're a little bit confused or embarrassed, we have a tendency to hide, and it's the wrong time to hide. It's the time to reach out and connect.
And hey, you don't have money issues. You only have relationship issues. There's mm-hmm. no issues that you have in this world that a relationship can't solve. So build your relationships.
Well, all right, friends. Thank you so much, guys. And thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Color of Money podcast. We will catch you next week with a new guest for you to learn from in order to help you build wealth, to earn more, learn more, and build wealth. Talk to y'all soon. Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.